I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
A new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We just checked with a local school district. Davis School District, as of right now, it seems like the only school district that's on delayed start, Dave, by 2 hours. Of course, that's where you live. You know all about that.
I got the phone call. I got the robocall this morning, which shocks me because you look outside. I'm thinking, what school district is running on time today? That is incredible. It's 9:07. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
And here are three things, mostly weather-related, that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
Correction, all weather-related, because we've got a lot of ongoing coverage coming off of Utah's morning news. Wow, what a morning. Including this, right out of the gates. What to do if you're in a what I call a bumper car crash, Dave. Nothing too serious, but you kind of just floated on ice or on slick roads into the car next to you, right?
Bumper car crash?
You can't correct it. Hey, look, I was almost there this morning on the 6th North off-ramp. It was a nightmare. We're going to get live with Utah Highway Patrol to ask, what is the universal police expectation on days like today? Stay and wait? Move your car out of the way? What is it?
No, it's a great question because there were about four different situations. And I was just driving to this train station because I, you know, take the train in. It was incredible. I'm sliding everywhere. Nobody is driving quickly. So, yes, the bumper car crash, Debbie, perfectly described.
Countdown.
Tracking the snow plows. Why is this so important for you to know? Because I think it'll help decide which roads you could take without, you know, getting into too much trouble. Dave found the app that he says no one is using, but should be. The free app that will change your commute. What is this app, Dave, we're going to talk about?
UDOT. They got this app, a traffic app. I didn't realize it was the most powerful app in America. I mean, it is tracking to the street, to the minute that a snow plow is clearing off your road. That's just one of about 90 options. Again, it's the greatest app ever for traffic that I just found today.
Launch countdown one.
Who didn't know today would be bad? I was praying it away when I was hearing about the 100 and some odd crashes last night during Jeff Kaplan's show. I was praying it would be gone by this morning. It's not gone. We're going to get with Kevin Eubank, KSL meteorologist. We're going to ask him when this storm is getting the heck out of here. And we're also promising you live traffic updates every few minutes. Live reports from our reporters who are standing by the side of snow-covered roads as well.
I've been indoors for 3 straight hours. My hands are still frozen. They are still frozen. I'm like sticking them directly in my hot chocolate, trying to warm them up. Yeah, we've got so much weather-related for you right now.
Dave and Genevic.
The launch.
Commence.
Utah's top local story. Special coverage with Dave and Genevic.
We begin this morning with a live conversation with Utah Highway Patrol.
Sergeant Cameron Roden joins us right now. Okay, what's the situation on our freeways like right now?
Things are starting to improve a little bit today. We still have a lot of crashes that are going on, and troopers are still very busy, but it's good to see some improvement.
Hundreds of crashes this morning, or a little less than you saw yesterday afternoon?
So throughout the day yesterday, we had about 175 crashes for the day. Most of those came in the afternoon when the snow started to come in. But so far this morning, we're sitting about 80 to 90 crashes. Mm. So a really busy morning, and it was a rough start to the day.
Debbie calls them what was it? Bumper car crashes
where you could just kind of waft or slide into the car next to you because you can't control it. So Dave and I are wondering, what do we do if we're in this minor fender bender type crash with another car or even a barricade? Do we stay and wait for the cops to arrive or do we get off the road, Sergeant?
That's a good question. Good description of what that is, too. No, that is a good question that a lot of people have, whether they need to stay in that same place and wait for police to arrive. We want people to get in as safe a situation as possible. So it is okay for drivers to move their vehicles out of the roadway, especially if they're blocking lanes. We want them to stay in their car with their seatbelt on. And if their car is movable, able to move, we can move that off to the shoulder and notify police. Actually, we would encourage drivers to actually move to an off-ramp, a safe place like that, and then call law enforcement. That way we're responding to a safe place for them. They're in a better spot. We're not causing any secondary collisions, and Utah law does allow that.
So generally speaking, if you are in that little fender bender, the idea is both the person that got hit and the person that hit, just move to the next off-ramp. You know, it might be a couple miles away, but be patient. Go to the next off-ramp, pull off somewhere, and there you can exchange information.
Correct. Yep. And there, if we need a report taken, law enforcement can respond to that situation. The goal is twofold. One, we want to make sure that the people involved in the crash are staying safe. And we've had several crashes so far this year where individuals have gotten out of their car, exchanged information at the scene, cars even blocking the road, and then those individuals have gotten hit by passing traffic. So that is the first goal. Also, preventing secondary crashes is also one of our major goals, is that we can help to prevent those and keep traffic moving.
Utah Highway Patrol Sergeant Cameron Roden, thank you so much for jumping on the line with us. Continuing to follow this developing snowstorm right now, Andy Farnsworth standing by live in our traffic center. Andy, where are our trouble spots right now?
Well, Debbie, as it's been for most of the morning, over on 215's East Bench, going up the hill has just been an absolute nightmare. It got icy and slick, and then all the traffic backed up. Cars couldn't make it up the hill. You know how when you're new driving a stick and you get on the hill and you're worried because you start to go backwards before you go forwards? Well, that was happening to people even when they hit the gas because it was so slippery that they were sliding backwards even as their tires were trying to push them forward. That's still the case. The problem is they can't get the plows through there because the traffic is so backed up. It doesn't give the plows enough room to spread the salt and improve traction. So we're still in the exact same spot we were 3 hours ago with delays coming around the curve from Union Park area all the way up to 4500 South. But going into Parley's, they rarely require chains or four-wheel drives for all vehicles. That's been the case this morning. That's not something that happens very often. Throughout Salt Lake, where the snow continues to dump, we're at Foothill, 13th East, all those roads are still struggling. And still getting from Clearfield to Salt Lake, we're still looking at 40 minutes travel time. So the only place it's improved has been south end of the Salt Lake Valley. Down in Utah County, we still have backups from Spanish Fork crash, and then another crash happened in American Fork. So we can't make it through the morning without more problems. But there is some hope for northbounders in spots, and it's a little bit better up towards Ogden.
Is 215 still a nightmare?
Oh, yes. If you got the monitor up right there, Dave, you can look at it. That's what it's like going up the hill. Cars just inching along all three lanes. And again, the snow's still coming down there, and the temperatures haven't risen, so it's just still an ice rink with no relief until that traffic finally clears out.
We got our eyes on 215, Andy, as you said, here in studio. Thanks so much for jumping. And we know we know we're going to be checking back with you frequently throughout the morning. But that mess, Dave, on I-215 on the east side.
It's a standstill. It is an absolute standstill.
Avoid it.
Anywhere you can go that's not that is the right choice.
If you're in it, stay with us. We'll get you through this straight ahead. We do have a live conversation in store with the Utah Department of Transportation on what's happening in Parley's Canyon. Also know that, of course, the ski resorts got tons of snow overnight. We're going to check the situation there, talk about whether or not they're doing avalanche control this morning, when the canyons will open. They may be open right now. We'll check with them in just a moment. Straight ahead, though, a live report from KSL News Radio's Chris Jacobs, who's been out in it all morning long.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get a quick blast of news each morning.
From Ukraine to Utah County.
You'll hear it first.
And accurately.
On KSL.
Listen weekdays between 5 and 9 to Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for Dave and Dujanovic. Utah's top local story. Special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
We just learned what to do if you're caught in a fender bender accident, a minor accident in this horrible snowstorm from Sergeant Cameron Roden with Utah Highway Patrol. And he said, if it's safe to do so, you need to be moving your car to the nearest off-ramp, get off the side of the road, then call police. In a moment, we're going to talk about what you should have inside your car. Now, if you're out and it's too late, we don't want you to turn around and go back home and gather this stuff. But this is for, like, next week's snowstorm.
Yeah, and to say it's cold right now is such an understatement. It's 24 degrees right now. Debbie, it's 9:22 in the morning. It's 24 degrees. So it is complete and total ice on the ground. It's slippery. We're watching the complete lockdown on 215. And people are still sliding.
Yeah, it's a mess on I-215 on the east side. If you're stuck in it, stick with us. We're going to help get you through it. KSL News Radio's Andy Farnsworth is on standby. We're going to get with him in 2 minutes to get an update on that and other traffic hotspots. Let's go live right now to KSL News Radio's Chris Jacobs. Chris, you've been out in this all morning long. Where are you at right now, and what's it like?
Yeah, right now I'm actually just in Salt Lake, and snow is coming down heavy. You can see it, you know, look out your window, you'll be able to see it coming down heavy. And the roads, even though they've been salted, like you were kind of saying, ice is still forming on them.
I was wondering, as you were driving around, if you could just feel that, or does it feel like the mitigation, the snow plows, the saltwater brine, is that improving the road quality at all?
I think it is improving it. Like, there's definitely a level of, you can drive, it's not too bad all the time, but then you hit those slick spots, and if you're not prepared for it, it'll catch you.
You're out. Thank you, Chris Jacobs, KSL News Radio. Let's jump out to Andy Farnsworth.
Andy Farnsworth in the traffic center. What are you seeing on I-215?
Well, not much relief. The storm's tapered off for a minute. It's kind of come and gone all morning. But this has been the place to avoid because it's so icy that the plows can't make any real headway on it. So everybody with two-wheel drive coming to a stop on an icy slant makes it really difficult to get going again. And that's been part of the problem. We actually had a school bus that tried to make it up the hill earlier this morning. It just finally had to pull over to the left shoulder. I've watched cars kind of skidding sideways as their wheels try to get traction. And that's what you're facing if you try to take I-215 up that steep, icy hill. We've also got not a very common thing, Dave and Deb, is that they don't usually require chains or four-wheel drives for all vehicles in Parleys. Semis, yeah, that happens frequently. But this morning they had it for all vehicles, and we've actually had traffic backed out of the canyon almost back to 2300 East. That doesn't happen very often either. That's how bad the conditions have been on the east side of the Salt Lake Valley, and those are the areas that you need to either prepare for long delays or maybe just avoid for a while.
Andy, we know that in Davis County, the district put the students on a two-hour delayed start this morning, but what are you seeing on the traffic cameras in the Davis County area? Dave said when he drove in this morning, it was a mess.
Yeah, it's still really problematic on the main corridor of the freeway from like the Syracuse-Layton area all the way down into Farmington. That's been the worst stretch this morning, and it stayed consistently. It hasn't cleared out. Another stretch in downtown Salt Lake City on I-15 right after you leave, right across the border into Salt Lake. But it was probably good that they did that, especially for drivers. Clearfield, we heard from a lot of our listeners early this morning trying to go from like 10,000 or from 1,000 West or 20th West all the way over to I-15 in Clearfield, that it took them like almost an hour to go in that stretch on just like a regular city street. So probably good that they delayed it. Maybe it would have been good if they did that for the U of U this morning, because there's still people trying to get there.
Yeah, if there's any hill anywhere, you can't get up it. Andy Farnsworth, thank you for joining us. You're almost the third host this morning, so just settle in. I'm sure we're going to be hitting you all morning long. Thanks, Andy.
Wade Matthews, a spokesperson for the Division of Emergency Management for the state of Utah, live on the line with us as well. Good morning, Wade.
Good morning, Debbie.
I think it's really important, even though a lot of folks are already on the road, they're like, this isn't going to help me today. But for future snowstorms, our producer came in and said, you know, I don't have anything in my car. If I were to slide off the road, give us a few top things that folks should have in their car that you'd like to see them have in their car.
Yeah. First of all, it's, you know, a preparedness mindset, basically. And being dressed appropriately for the season before you even get in the car is very important. But, you know, after that, you want to make sure you've got a blanket, a sleeping bag, maybe a Mylar reflective blanket even. You want to be prepared for providing warmth for yourself if you're stuck for a while or out in the cold long period. Gloves, you know, if you have to get out and work around the car or something, have gloves with you. A lot of people are wearing just dress shoes or heels. And if you want to have a pair of snow boots in there to put on, and if you're out there trying to push or dig your way out of a snowbank or something, and even a package of hand warmers. So also food and water. If you're stranded for long periods, which maybe isn't so likely in the urban areas, but more rural areas, you have food and water. Digestion helps warm the warm the body. So heat, you know, being prepared to provide for heat is critical.
Wade Matthews is joining us right now, spokesperson for the Division of Emergency Management. I think there is a false sense of security if you, you know, go off on I-15 in a relatively, you know, busy little area, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the tow trucks are going to get to you quickly. You might be there for a couple hours.
Yeah, unfortunately, that could be so. Making sure your cell phone is charged before you leave, or having a portable battery with you so you have that form of communication to call for help. If you're stuck in the snow or on the ice, and we're hearing a lot about slipping and ice this morning, if you're in a situation where you can't get out, having a container of ice melt or sand or cat litter that you can put under the tires to give you some traction, that ice melt may help help melt the ice under those tires. Even a small folding shovel, keep that in the trunk, like these little camp shovels, if you need to dig your way out down to some solid ground and get yourself some traction again. And for nighttime, you want to be prepared with signaling, some safety signals like flares or little triangles. First aid kit's always a good idea. Jumper cables in this cold weather, batteries are always weak and don't hold a charge as well. So jumper cables are a good thing to have, as well as a flashlight.
Wade Matthews, the Division of Emergency Management, thanks for jumping on the line with us on this snowstorm of a day here along the Wasatch Front and beyond. Appreciate the tips. Don't have the snow shovel. Have the flashlight. I have the first aid kit, Dave, and I have some flares. I have some flares in my trunk. So if you're ever in a situation, just call me. I'll roll up and throw some flares on the side of the road for you. Checking Utah Transit Authority moments ago, Dave, you took Front Runner in today?
Yeah.
How was the delays? Anything?
About 5 minutes on the trains.
Utah Transit Authority just tweeting moments ago, as of 9:22 this morning, that due to technical issues, they're expecting a 15 to 20 minute northbound delay from North Temple to Ogden Station, as well as a continued southbound delay. There's also some delays. They tweeted about 9 o'clock this morning, shortly thereafter. They expect a 15 to 20 minute southbound delay from North Temple to the Provo Station. So you just, again, if you're stuck out in it, I guess, waiting for the train, bundle up. Be patient. They're about 15 to 20 minutes behind this morning.
Yeah, that's especially difficult when you are waiting for the train or waiting for the bus. You're out there in the cold, in the elements. There's not a lot of places where you can really shelter or get warm. So you better bundle up as you're heading to the train.
Also, if you are out in it as a passenger in a car, not as the driver, and it's safe to do so, feel free to text our KSL text line 57500. Give us the traffic update in the traffic spot that you're at. Just heard from one of our listeners, Dave, that once you get past that mess on I-215 and you're stuck in it, you know what we're talking about. It is a parking lot out there on the east side, that it is smooth sailing. It's wide open. It's a much different story. So just patience, a pound of patience today. You might need an actual hour of it based on what we're seeing on the traffic cameras. Andy Farnsworth still live in the traffic center for us. And straight ahead, Dave, let's talk about that free app you found that you now love. It's now your favorite app.
Yeah, the UDOT app tells you everything. Holy cow, I can't believe the things that I didn't know that I could find. Like where all the snow plows are, it'll show you exactly where the snow plows are.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Utah's top local story. Special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
We know that this snowstorm has caused traffic trouble spots. We've got the east side I-215 parking lot right now. We are watching y'all on the live feed from UDOT. We saw the guy in the white truck change lanes. We're sorry about that. That creates all kinds of chaos when somebody in this kind of weather decides they want to change lanes. But it's a mess in Davis County. It is a mess everywhere. And Dave found the best app that we don't think you're using to track snow plows.
It's not just snow plows either. It's an incredible app. It's called UDOT Traffic. It's a free app you download, and it has so many things on this map. You can pull up where all the cameras are. You can see where the incidents are, the rest areas, the traffic congestion, the snow plows. There's so much information. So I just narrowed it down to the incidents and the snow plows. Okay. And I'm looking at this app, and it tracks all these snow plows around the state of Utah. And you can click on the snow plow, and we'll show you the road that it just plowed.
And the time it plowed it?
Yeah, at 9:34, I wanted to look what was going on up the canyon. 9:34 in 43 seconds, a snow plow passed through the east side of Parley Summit.
Okay.
Like very, very specific. So if you're trying to leave your house and you're trying to think, oh, I wonder what
yeah, I do that.
When the last time a snow plow touched that road.
I do that all the time, and I didn't know about that feature on that app. So thank you for helping me download the app this morning. Totally free. Now know about the feature. And thankfully, we also have Heather Kelly standing by live in the KSL Traffic Center to give us an update on that traffic trouble spot in Parley's Canyon that we saw all morning. What are we seeing in Parley's, Heather?
Well, right now at the mouth of Parley's, we have another band of lake effect snow going through. So not only is visibility reduced, but it's laying down more snow where the plows have just gone through. And it is still just a parking lot coming up from the east belt, trying to get into the canyon. Plus, semis require chains or four-wheel drive. Now, earlier, all vehicles needed chains or four-wheel drive. But you have the semis kind of pulling over the side of the road, trying to get those chains on, just causing huge delays trying to get up toward the summit. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thank you, Heather. Appreciate the update. I'm looking at these videos, Debbie, and I don't have a reference. I don't know how far, how long this stretches. Is this a half a mile? Is it a mile? Is it several miles? Because I think I've seen the same white truck for the past 20 minutes.
The Utah Department of Transportation spokesperson John Gleason live on the line. You're in the hot seat now, John. Good morning.
Hey, I always like being in the hot seat with you too.
Well, we could use some warmer temperatures. It's still like 25 degrees out there right now. Certainly the roads are icy. Let's talk Parley's Canyon. That's been a real mess and a real trouble spot for you guys all morning.
Yeah, and I think Debbie, Heather just mentioned it. That if there was any one focus right now on trouble spots, that's probably it, because you still have that lake effect snow that's falling, and it's not the amount of snow that's falling on the roads overnight. It's just the fact that, as you mentioned, it's 25 degrees out there. There's no place in the valley where it's warmer than freezing right now, and so any bit of snow, even though the plows have been out there all night, it's going to create some really challenging slick conditions, and we've seen that especially in Parley's Canyon and on the East Belt and in Davis County this morning.
John Gleason with UDOT is joining us right now. John, I know that as you're treating these roads, it helps keep things from freezing. Is that doing its job right now, or are the temperatures just so cold right now that you can't stay on top of it?
A little bit of both, Dave. I think it's doing its job, the brine solution, the pretreatments, the plowing, but it is so cold that any little bit of precipitation that falls down, we just had a dusting in a lot of different areas this morning, but it's still really creating those slick conditions. And, you know, for the most part, we have had a number of slide-offs and some minor fender benders, but we've avoided really serious crashes. And I think that's people doing what they're supposed to be doing as well, and slowing down and driving for these incredibly slick conditions.
We talked to the Utah Highway Patrol out of the gates this morning at 9 o'clock. They said so far 80 crashes. They had 175 crashes last night. And then an additional 80 crashes this morning. John, I want to talk about the ski canyons. You got Big and Little Cottonwood ski canyons. You got Snowbird reporting in Little Cottonwood some 15 inches of snow overnight. And then I think Brighton, and I'm sure this number will be updated when we talk to KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank in a matter of moments, but they're saying 17 inches in the last 24 hours. Are those canyons open, or are they closed right now for avalanche control?
They are. They're open as far as I know. I just checked in, and it is there are some snow-packed roads. Our plows are getting those roads cleared, and so it is slow going, especially in Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon. We're asking people to make sure that they have proper traction devices, chains, four-wheel drive, just to make sure that if you're driving in any of those steep canyon areas, Parleys, you know, Spanish Fork, Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon, that you're able to navigate those steep inclines and those hills up there.
At this point, it's a mild incline that is a trouble as well. Yeah, the steep ones are a disaster, but my goodness, seems like we're slipping on everything. John Gleason, thank you for joining us with the Utah Department of Transportation.
In 4 minutes, we're going to get a live call from KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank, who's been tracking this storm. We're going to ask him, how much do we get, and when is this thing getting out of here for good? Next.
Dujanovic. Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
This will be more than a game.
Ballistic rolls it in, Tim Way!
Goals will mean more than points. Iran is demanding Team USA be removed. This year, the World Cup means something more. Listen for updates Monday and Tuesday on KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news. Dave and DeGenevic. Dave and DeGenevic. Top local story. Special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
No, just checking in the current conditions at the airport. According to FlightAware.com, right now Salt Lake City has 27 flight delays. It looks like there's 5 cancellations. We don't know if all of that is due to weather or not. We'll keep checking in with the airport. I know Denver is also experiencing some flight cancellations and flight delays. I looked at their weather. It looks like they're getting the storm as well, or a storm. In a moment, we're going to check in live with KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank, who will bring us an update on when this thing is going to get out of here, Dave.
Today's word of the day is lake effect. Lake effect. I didn't know there was any lake to affect anything, but apparently lake effect is what's driving this. It's an incredible amount of snow, and yeah, we're just being bombarded right now.
I was watching KSL 5 television, the monitors in the newsroom all morning long, and I saw KSL 5 TV's Kara Bracken out in the middle of this. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good. Where are you at, and what are you seeing right now?
Well, right now it's a whole lot clearer, so we are in Draper. So based from now versus this morning, it is clearer and sunny skies, and I'm sure a lot of skiers are looking forward to getting out today.
Kara, I had absolutely no idea there were blue skies to be seen. And you can confirm there are blue skies that you are seeing.
Correct. There's still some clouds and stuff. I'm sure that's, we'll be moving around as it does today. But, yeah, there's blue skies, and it's nice. I mean, I've got on 2 layers, but it's down from, about 4 this morning. So we're halfway there.
How bad was it this morning when you were out and about in it during KSL 5's morning show?
Sure. So this morning, I drive, my commute is from West Haven into Salt Lake City. So roughly, normally it takes about 35, 40 minutes for me. Today it took over an hour and 10 minutes. And that just kind of shows just how slow we were having to go. You couldn't see the roads as far as the lines where they, started and stopped. So a lot of cars were just kind of following each other and doing the best that they could to stay on the road and not keep sliding off. But compared to then to now, I mean, it's just night and day. Definitely a lot of cars sliding off the roads and all those things that it brings.
KSL 5 Television's Kara Bracken, thank you for being out there with all the layers and bringing us the latest. Thank you, Kara.
And she was in Draper. We are looking at the live UDOT camera feed from I-215 on the east side belt, and it is still a parking lot out there. It is a mess. It does look as though speeds have increased a little bit, I would say from maybe 5 miles an hour to maybe 7 miles an hour. You are moving, but we know that you're going to be out in it for a while yet.
Kevin Eubank joins us right now, KSL meteorologist. The word of the day, Kevin, I said it, lake effect. I didn't know there was much lake remaining to affect anything, but apparently this is lake effect.
That's exactly right. This is lake effect. It's a combination, guys. Yesterday's storm was an actual cold front. And so the couple inches we got last night and all the accidents you talked about, that was the cold front that blasted in. And then behind that front, so that ended about 9 o'clock last night. And then behind that storm, we got really cold air coming over the lake. And to Dave's point, you don't see a lot of the lake, and we've heard about the historic low levels, but there's still quite a bit of water, still, again, Antelope Island west. And so there's still a lake to get lake effect, and that's exactly what happened this morning. A very narrow lake effect band that pretty much went from Kaysville in Davis County all the way into West Jordan and the Ochre Mountains, all the way up into Olympus Cove. And it was just this narrow band of heavy snow that added an additional 4 to 5 inches on top of what fell yesterday. So, again, we need this water. It's so good, and I don't want to be the optimist as people are crashing and getting stuck in traffic, but we need this water. And so it's awesome to get it, terrible to drive in it, and the roads are horrible, but that too shall pass. It'll end here. In fact, already we're seeing, as you heard Kara, this storm is already the cold air and the conditions for lake effect have diminished, and we're going to start seeing blue skies and sunshine by afternoon.
Kevin, too much snow, too little snow, you're always the bad guy. That you're always going to be the bad guy. How far does the lake effect, does that snow carry? Does it carry all the way to the ski resorts, to those mountains, or does it stop somewhere?
No, it does. It actually, again, it all depends on the orientation of the winds aloft or the winds above the lake. And then again, as that air gets up into the canyons and it rises, you can create that snow and it takes you all the way up into the Cottonwoods. So, I mean, this has been an awesome storm. Huge totals coming out of our mountains, a foot to a foot and a half. Some of our benches, Kaysville up towards Hill Air Force Base, Fruit Heights, they've got 9 inches on the ground. So it's a fluffy snow. It's not a real heavy, wet snow. But lake effect did its job. It doubled the snow totals, and that's very typical of a good lake effect event. It'll take the first storm, and then it doubles that when you get to the lake.
Watching the sun come out right now at Broadcast House here on North Temple and Third West, it's a sight to behold, Kevin. You said this one's on its way out. So you think the afternoon commute will be A-okay?
Significantly better. Again, UDOT crews, city municipality crews have been doing an amazing job to try to keep up, but you can only do so much. And when you've got cars on the road, it's really hard to get a clean swipe of all the roadways that you need to get clear because you're dealing with traffic. So it'll be another 12 hours before I think all the crews really take care of all the roads, surface, street, and otherwise. But yeah, a lot better evening commute than we had for the morning commute.
I apologize if you already slipped this information in, but what are the temperatures looking like and what are the highs going to be?
So lows tonight are going to dip down into the teens and 20s, and the roads are going to be very icy. So the potential for accidents continues, even with the snow gone. We're dealing with cold, snowy, icy conditions, and those are just ripe for accidents. Highs tomorrow are going to be in the 30s. We are going to jump back into the 40s as we head through the middle of the week, and that's in advance of another storm that's going to get here Friday. And then there's another one on its heels for Sunday. So we've kind of turned the corner. We've gone from a real dry spell for the end of November, and now starting December, we're going to go right back to the stormy pattern. So cold day for a day, and then it flips back to the 40s ahead of that next storm that will get here Friday.
I learned a couple of weeks ago, I think I was listening to you, to not anticipate that these early storms are a drought killer because we have to still get through, you know, December, January, February, March to know if this winter will be the drought killer.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, Debbie, because so many people ask, you know, hey, does this help? Does this help? And it does. Every bit helps. But remember, we've talked about it before, and it's a holistic approach to the drought.
Right.
It's going to take years to replenish. But you're right. We need to get through. The way that we get it is we got to start with an above normal year. And it'd be awesome if we could get that. But it comes month after month after month. So November was awesome at the beginning, and then it shut off. And so when you add those two together, you get an average November. And so here's December starting off with a bunch of storms. We got to hope that it continues through the month of December and then on into January, February, March. But the pattern looks good. Looking long range ahead, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to get an average to an above average year and start to turn the corner and start to recover from what's been a pretty epic drought.
Kevin Eubank, thank you for joining us. KSL meteorologist, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kev. Okay, so in the last hour, we have learned that if you are on I-215, you are still in a parking lot. We apologize for that. We've got Heather Kelly standing by in the traffic center to get you an update. ASAP in the next, maybe 2 minutes or so. So stand by for that. Looking at a live camera right now from Hillfield Road. Looks like I-15 southbound. It looks like there's several cars off to the side there, but traffic is moving through there. Also learned, Dave, that you found the best app in the world, which is the UDOT app, and I think that's super useful on really super snowy days when you want to find out when the road kind of close to your house, the main road close to your house, has been plowed, so you know which roads to take.
Yeah, mostly this is focusing on the really big roads. This isn't going to tell you whether your neighborhood is going to see a snowplow anytime soon. That is usually dealt on the city level. But if you're looking for the big interstates, I-80, some of these big areas, the canyons, it'll tell you down to the minute and even down to the second when a snowplow last hit that area.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
We're taking you live to D.C. Our Congress is, they've headed back to a lame duck session. I think President Biden, though, is asking them not to be so lame with this looming railway strike. That if it happens, it's bound to impact our supply chain, Dave. He's actually asked Congress to step in and deal with this thing.
I love the term lame duck session. It's because everybody's leaving. Everyone's been voted out, or whoever's been voted out, they can kind of vote however they want to. There's no other, you can't do anything more than already kick them out. So what are you going to vote for on your final days?
So 400 business groups sent a letter to Congress, congressional leaders. It happened yesterday. They want them to take steps and deal with these stalled talks between, the labor unions and the railway, the companies, the railway companies. They're saying, Dave, that if there is a strike, where have we heard this before? It could force lots of businesses to shut down because of supply chain issues. I mean, it's like, isn't this the last thing we need? Aren't we still recovering? Things are feeling back to normal.
It's always about the supply chain. Em Nguyen joins us right now, ABC News correspondent. Em, can you walk us through this lame duck session right now as we wait for the new Congress to take over? It's really, they have to address this rail strike, right?
Yeah, certainly. So, yes, there's a potential rail strike that could happen December 9th. And that's because there were a bunch of unions who were negotiating with the White House on a number of issues, such as wage increases, other changes, time off for illnesses, for family emergencies. And, of course, the sticking point now is paid time off, paid sick time. So it seems as if after months of negotiations, there is a standstill. And that's why this very pro-union president is now saying that he wants Congress to intervene. He wants Congress to impose a deal negotiated to help avert this strike or shutdown that could threaten the nation's deliveries and supplies so close to the holidays. And by the way, it's estimated to be, if this strike were to happen, about $2 billion lost a day if this strike were to happen. So the only entity that could step in right now is Congress. And as soon as Biden actually made the statement to say, hey, Congress, go ahead and intervene, let's get this done, Speaker Pelosi said the House would take up this matter this week. Then, of course, it would move on to the Senate and get signed. So that's the only way right now that we could potentially avert the shutdown. And just a note to say here, the last time this happened was back in 1992, it was during very similar labor disagreements. And during that time, Biden was actually one of the senators who voted against the ratification of one of those agreements. He was a very obviously pro-union stance. But now it seems the situation has just deferred now that he's in the executive. And he's saying that a strike could majorly impact the economy, which of course it would, and it's around the holidays as well.
Who wins if Congress steps in? Are they going to favor the union? Are they going to favor the rails?
So as of right now, the conversation, the negotiations have been going on for a while, right? And in September, they actually came to a sort of agreement between some of the unions. And that tentative contract included a 24% compounded wage increase as well as other changes. And 12 rail unions actually agreed to it. But the four largest rejected that agreement. And so at this point, nothing would change out of that last deal that they had brought up, even though, of course, as I mentioned, four of the largest unions had rejected that idea. So it wouldn't be, no one on both either side would be very happy. Of course, the 12 rail unions, which makes up less than 50% of the actual workforce, would be pretty happy with it, but the four largest wouldn't. And then the thing is, the White House just wants this to get through so that we can avoid losing billions of dollars every day. So not everyone is happy, but the idea of averting a shutdown would be something good for the holidays, of course.
And Wynn, before we let you go, we've got about 30, maybe 60 seconds left. ABC News correspondent in Washington, D.C. Speaking of a shutdown, I mean, Congress also has to come up with some sort of a budget, or either a full budget or decide on another continuing resolution to avert a federal government shutdown. There's shutdowns galore happening potentially next month.
Right. So it's a very busy lame duck session. Their top priority is to keep the government open past December 16th. Again, it's not clear if it's going to be a full budget or a stopgap, which, of course, would be more appealing to Republicans who would take control of the House next term, and they'll have a little bit more say about what goes into that budget. They're also looking into passing military spending bill, raising the debt ceiling, possibly considering additional funding for Ukraine, possibly also considering what the White House wants, which is a ban on sales on assault-style weapons. And then, of course, the leadership elections are happening this week for Democrats. On January 3rd, House Republicans will then have their public vote for the speakership. And the last thing I'll mention is that the Senate Democrats are also working very hard to pass what's called the Respect for Marriage Act, which is protecting same-sex and interracial marriages. And that could happen as early as today.
M. Wynn, thank you for joining us, ABC News correspondent out of Washington.
Dave, I saw a text from one of our listeners when we were talking about the potential rail strike a couple of days ago during our show. And they said, you know, they're crying over sick time, but sick time is money. And so these rail workers want more sick time. And that text kind of prompted me to go down the research rabbit hole on this. So one worker told a news station in Omaha, you can work 7 years for a company, a rail company, have 2 weeks vacation, no sick days, no personal days. And then Axios reported the agreement brokered by the White House features one paid day off that can be used without penalty for a worker's birthday or to make doctor's appointments, but only on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Come on. How can you even survive if a family member gets sick or you get sick in this job that allows you one paid or unpaid day off, whatever the case may be, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Thursday?
Yeah, don't you dare get sick on the weekend.
How would that make you feel?
That's so strange. It's foreign. It's such a foreign concept. I've never been in this situation where I was so restricted when it came to sick days and personal days. I've totally taken for granted what I've experienced ever since I was 23 years old. I've never seen no sick days from a company.
And they're also saying a lot of them are on call 24/7. So, you know, you're working all the time. You're probably getting worn down. If your buddy on the rail line doesn't have a sick day either, they're coming to work sick because they don't want to take an unpaid day off. So when I started to research that, I started to understand it from the rail workers' perspective.
And kind of strange that the negotiated rate is like, hey, we're going to get you one day, though. Don't worry about that. We'll step in. Yeah, I have a hard time believing Congress is going to sweep in and do anybody any great favors.
Dave and Dujanovic.
You can catch info anywhere.
But KSL News Radio is a dependable source.
We invite you to join us weekdays between 5 and 9.
Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon.
Utah's morning companions for news.
Here's Dave and Dujanovic.
We are following a developing story right now out of the Utah State Prison, the old Utah State Prison at the Point of the Mountain. between Salt Lake, or at the edge of Salt Lake County, near Utah County. Let's take you there live, where they're just getting ready now, Dave, looks like, to demolish the tower there.
Yeah, this is Draper Mayor Troy Walker.
Came by accident. This has been in the planning and in the works for a long time, and we are really excited and really excited to do it. We have something unique in Draper. We're known for our open space. And I just want to quickly, and I'll be quick, tell you just a little bit more. We have about 6,495 acres of open space in our community. 4,333 of it is owned by the city and is dedicated to trails and access. We have 147 miles of built trail, both paved and dirt. We connect with our sister cities, Lehigh and Bluffdale, through our paved trail system, and we are really in a place that is fun. We did this because it's about quality of life, and quality of life is what we all want, and quality of life is what open space brings. And so I'm proud to tell you.
We were dipping in present, just for a moment as Draper Mayor Troy Walker was
right now, one-third,
and
one
is
third
talking
of the
about
Draper City is an open space.
The first stage of demolishing the old prison, he says it was a 14-year quest to try to convince politicians that they needed to move the prison so that they could develop this area. What is this area going to look like? What is development going to be? We don't know specifically. Probably several hundred acres that they get to deal with here. Kind of this blank canvas, and this is step number one.
What would you make it?
NFL football stadium. Easy.
Well, and you said we don't know what it's going to be. We've talked kind of extensively, on and off over the course of the last 6 months or so, you and I have, to, the development company. And, it looks like there's going to be businesses, some parks, probably some housing as well, which we need. Of course, we always worry about water, but Dave would make it an NFL football stadium. I think you're going to see a lot of housing. You're going to see a lot of, it's going to be like a very planned community. And it's also going to be something where you can work, stay, and play. So we'll continue to follow this as it develops. My understanding is that KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe is live at the news conference right now, where they are wrapping up as dignitaries of politicians across the Wasatch Front take to the microphone. They're wrapping that up. Former Governor Gary Herbert is there as well. He'll watch the tower be demolished. And then after that, I'm sure over the next several months, we'll watch the rest of the prison be demolished. At this point in the show, we're going to turn our discussion into something that requires a little ears warning. Dave, remind our listeners what our little ears warning is all about.
Yeah, if you don't want to have to do some awkward explanation to your children, it's one of those topics. We're going to talk about some sexual things, I guess is the best way to say it.
Forget it. I'll just say turn down the radio. Turn down the radio if you got little kids. Was that uncomfortable for you to use that word?
You can't say it on the radio, Dave.
I know. All right, we're talking about you might some consider it trashy. Others will say it's poor taste. I personally just couldn't believe this advertisement.
It's felony bad taste, Deb. It, misdemeanor poor judgment at the worst, but, or the best. But yeah, the question I have is this ad that came out, is it protected by the First Amendment?
And this has been all over the news. So that's the reason we're talking about it. We just like happened to see this ad and like, we're going to talk about this. This has been all over the news. But unless you are into or can afford high-end luxury fashion, you've probably, are like me, and never heard of Balenciaga. It's a brand. Did I say that right? I don't even know.
No.
How is it said?
Balenciaga.
Balenciaga. Yep. Dave knows because...
Because I've been covering this the last 2 days, and I follow the Kardashians.
Balenciaga. They have handbags with rhinestones. You can buy them at high-end stores. Bargain price of like $2,900. Actually, I would look this up last night, Balenciaga, and I found a handbag for $1,400. And I thought, I can't even afford this.
You're not a billionaire.
But Kim Kardashian has kind of thrown her support.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Her name behind.
She uses a lot of Balenciaga stuff. Yep.
And this is not a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday conversation on high fashion. This is about I'll just say it from my mom perspective. This is an ad that really, really bothered me. And it is an ad involving two children, little kids, maybe 4 or 5 years old, Dave.
Yeah. With teddy bears.
And they were holding teddy bears.
Yeah. If you look closer at the ad, it's more than just kids holding teddy bears.
The teddy bears are in bondage.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about when we say turn down the radio if you have little kids. They're in bondage. It's something I would never want my children to see. I didn't even want to see it. But this is an ad. It's chains, masks, a flask, wine glasses, a champagne flute. The kids were holding these teddy bears.
Yeah.
Little girls were holding these teddy bears.
Yeah, this is full 50 Shades of Grey stuff. Now, there's this cute little redhead. Now, she's dressed, just to be very clear, they're dressed fine, right? She's wearing a black T-shirt, some sweats, trendy sneakers, nothing inappropriate the way the child is dressed. But she's holding this creepy teddy bear that's surrounded by all of this adult stuff.
You wanted to know if this was legal.
Yeah.
So in 10 minutes, we're going to ask our legal analyst, Greg Skordas, to weigh in on this conversation. Are there any ramifications at all for organizations that produce these types of ads? That wasn't the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know
whether it was legal or not.
No.
You just saw the bad taste.
No. Oh, I was beyond that.
The creepiness.
It was like, why are we... Legal or not, why would you ever do that? Why would you put children in an ad like that? And then in addition to that, I would never want my children to see an ad like that. Now, that ad got pulled shortly after it was released. The backlash was big, and the company releases the statement, says, we sincerely apologize for any offense. Our holiday campaign may have caused... Our blush bear bags should not have been featured with children in this campaign.
You think?
We're taking legal action against the parties responsible, and we strongly condemn abuse of children in any form. That was the company's statement.
We're taking legal action against the parties involved. You're the party. Like, look in the mirror. You knew what you were doing. This is such garbage. You love the attention. You knew it would drive us crazy, but what can we do about it? We know that there's laws that protect children from being involved in this stuff, but is this crossing the line?
Yeah, and one of the other ads, right? There's another ad.
Yeah.
You see an expensive handbag sitting on a stack of papers, and if you zoom on the papers, it's a printout of a child pornography case. A case that upheld the law that made child pornography illegal.
So they knew what they were doing. Now, I want to know how many people saw this ad and signed off on it. This was not just one rogue photographer and a couple models, right? This had to have been signed off by dozens, if not hundreds of people.
Well, it just doesn't sound like you're as bugged as I am about...
Oh, I'm super bugged.
Okay.
Yeah. No, like, I'm with you.
Oh, so, you got the dad brain on.
Super
going
creepy.
Okay. The dad brain's going like, where does it, where's the bar? Where does it stop? Where's the common sense? And have you ever been that parent in a line at the supermarket? Things have gotten better, but back in the day, it was just all these crazy headlines and magazines, and you turn around, your kids were thumbing through stuff, and you didn't want them to see the stuff that they're subjected to. Who stops it before it hits the newsstand or it hits the internet, and there now has to be an apology issued?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the marketing department, right? You should fire every single person that works or had touched this ad in any way. because, again, it's super creepy. That is the internal discussion, right, at Balenciaga. My question is, at what point does the law get involved and come cracking down? Is there any way or is there any protections that the law offers when children are being used in these sexualized types?
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160
If you're just
AM.
Joining us, we're reissuing our little ears warning because we're going to continue our discussion about something that we just don't think is appropriate for little kids to hear. So turn down the radio. You can podcast us later off your favorite podcast platform. But this ad caught our attention. It's a, I'm going to say it wrong again, but I'm going to try, I'm really try my hardest, Dave. Balenciaga. Did I get it right?
All right. Woo-hoo. Now you're in. You can buy your $1,100 running shoes.
Is that how much they are?
Yep.
So this is a fashion brand that is really, really pricey. I looked it up yesterday just to get my arms wrapped around the cost, and it's like $1,400. So I thought, well, I'm just going to...
For what?
For a purse.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a purse. For a tiny purse, Dave. I don't even think I can barely fit my iPhone and a lipstick in it. But there's this Christmas ad this year that featured small children. I'd put them at 4 or 5 years old, but I might
maybe
be a little
even
off.
Younger, yeah.
Maybe even younger. Holding teddy bears, dressed up in outfits, straight out of the book. If you haven't read it, I don't recommend you read it. I didn't finish reading it. 50 Shades of Grey. I couldn't stomach that book. But a lot of people have read it. No judgment. But these outfits were like chains and locks and straps and,
yeah, and
just
and
inappropriate.
Totally inappropriate, to be clear. The kids weren't wearing these outfits. It was the teddy bears that were wearing these bondage outfits. Regardless, it's insanely offensive. And I thought the panel on Fox News outnumbered summed it up perfectly.
There's this blurring of this line on the acceptable boundaries when it comes to children and sex. We need to stop it. There is no acceptable boundary. This is leading to child exploitation in record numbers. It is sickening. And this should be a bipartisan thing. This isn't Republican, Democrat, man, woman. This should be all of us. If you are a parent, if you are a decent human being, kids and sex should never be combined. We have to end it. We have to end it now. Just so that our kids can grow up with that same sense of innocence that we all did.
Greg Skordas, KSL's legal analyst, live on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
So Balenciaga is suing the production company, saying it was malevolent or at least extremely reckless. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I think that's the first soundbite from Fox News I've ever agreed with. But I do think that this ad campaign from this Balenciaga is really over the top. The picture, the kid is cute as she could be, but she's holding a bear like you described that's in bondage clothing, and then in front of the bear are a bunch of things, including what appear to be chains, other sort of binding devices. I mean, it's way over the top.
It's bad.
I don't know who thought of this.
Right. Yeah.
So what are the rules? I mean, obviously, to steal your line, I mean, this is felony bad taste and misdemeanor poor judgment, but is there actual laws or lines that are being crossed legally?
I would say not, Dave. I mean, the child is not depicted in anything that she is wearing that's inappropriate at all. This certainly doesn't depict anything that you could describe as child pornography. So I think it's one of those issues that should be decided by the consumer and not by the courts and especially the criminal courts when deciding what to do with a company that posts something like this.
Greg, you say decided by the consumer. Are you suggesting we like boycott the company, you know, that we can't even afford to buy? Like, I can't afford the $1,400 purse anyway. So what good is a boycott?
Well, I mean, I would just say that people that are sponsoring this company, I mean, there have been some celebrities who have really taken a second look at whether they want to continue helping the company. And the company is pointing the finger at the ad company, the company they hired to produce these ads. And they're sort of saying, hey, we just hired the people. We didn't know what they were going to do, when in fact they were present during the photo shoot. So they had some knowledge of it. And actually, this isn't even the first time this company has been involved in such a thing. There was also this other ad that depicted a page. I don't even know how you could make this up, from a Supreme Court decision in the United States, which dealt with criminalizing child pornography. I mean, it's just absurd.
It's so obvious that they're, and they know exactly what they're doing. I don't believe any of this, that it slipped, you know, through the cracks. This is exactly what they wanted. I do think it's interesting, though, that the law really doesn't step in, because whenever children are involved and in used in inappropriate advertisements, I would think that the law would have more standing.
And maybe it will, Dave, as a result of this. But the Supreme Court, ironically, in the very decision that is sort of shown in one of the ads, really takes a hard line in how you can define child pornography and when we cross that line and how it relates to the First Amendment. So, I mean, these are issues that we're dealing with on a regular basis, and the courts have wrestled with, and legislatures are trying to decide. But I just don't see this particular ad as ever being criminalized in the way that it was portrayed.
Greg Skordas, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. I will say, I'm a little surprised, Deb. I'm a little surprised that the law isn't harsher when kids are being essentially sexualized or used in these kind of ads that clearly cross a line, but doesn't seem like it is illegal.
So if the law doesn't protect the babies the way we as parents feel like it should, what do we do about it? I mean, I cannot afford these shoes that you speak of at $1,100 anyways, or this purse that's $1,400, you know. Do I like pretend boycott?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Because
I want it.
That's a great point.
Because when you look at this ad, and we've done a good enough job describing it now, I think the folks that are listening, you can get your mind wrapped around what we're talking about. If you saw that in an ad with your kid sitting right there, you'd slap the magazine shut, and you'd be in a world of hurt trying to explain to your child what they just saw, right?
Yeah, no question. There's so much going on right now. It feels like in the fashion world, the fashion designer world right now, they are just doing everything they can to one-up each other.
Like what?
Kanye West is making anti-Semitic comments. You know, he's got a billion-dollar fashion industry. Mm-hmm. Yeezys, right? This, obviously, that we've been talking about. And then I saw that, which may be one of the creepiest ones I've seen in a long time, Heidi Klum, the supermodel, right, is in an ad with her daughter wearing lingerie. Both of them are wearing lingerie, dancing around and kind of flirtatiously, you know.
What are you watching?
Listen, I'm telling you, it's not, I don't know. I don't know how
it's
I
like
came
across
it. It's
a lingerie company.
It's a lingerie company. They've got daughter and mother both in, kind of running around in these, you know.
I'm so glad we gave a little O's warning.
Yeah.
What do? You boycott?
Yeah, I mean, you got to do more than boycott, right? Like a boycott is not.
What do you like a protest? What?
Now we're getting warmer.
What does that look like? What do we do? I mean, let's ask our listeners. 801-575-TALK. We've discussed these two ads. Are the different ads that we're talking about? You get the picture. What do you do? Do you boycott? I've boycotted before. Not these companies. I've boycotted before. I'll tell you about that. I think it worked. I think my boycott is what sent these companies over the edge. Stay tuned for that. Give us a call as well. 801-575-TALK. 801-575-TALK. Do you boycott? Next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get a quick blast of news each morning.
From Ukraine to Utah County.
You'll hear it first.
And accurately.
On KSL.
Listen weekdays between 5 and 9 to Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news. Dave and Dujanovic.
Taking your live phone calls, 801-575-TALK. We're talking about what just appears to be kind of a growing trend in advertising that is, what should we say, shock value.
Oh, yeah.
And this particular ad involves children, little kids holding teddy bears, and these teddy bears were dressed, I would say, inappropriately. I don't want to see it. I'm 55 years old. I don't need to see it in an ad. Certainly didn't want my kids to happen upon it. The teddy bears were dressed in bondage, so things like chains and it's a Christmas ad. And this company has now pulled the ad and issued an apology and says it's suing the company that helped create the ad.
Yeah, with all their fake outrage. I can't believe this happened. How did that happen? Listen, I wouldn't have had any problem with this ad if it were adults, right? If it were adults featuring, I wouldn't even have thought anything about it. But as soon as you put three-year-olds in this ad, you've crossed a line. And I think you've done more than just cross a line of bad taste. When you sexualize children in this way, I think it should have some sort of legal ramification. This should be illegal.
We're taking phone calls, 801-575-TALK, 801-575-TALK. We've got plenty of texts here. Maybe you all don't want to talk about it out loud, but I think we need to. I think we need to talk about this.
It's a little awkward.
It is awkward, but we're right there with you. It's awkward for me, and it's been awkward for Dave to say some of this stuff, too, on the air. But my opinion is, look, we got to – got to talk about it because we have to stand up to it.
Right.
As parents, you don't have to be a talk show host in front of a microphone to say, look, this is wrong. And I don't want to see any of this. The one way that I have found is successful to get to companies is to boycott them. The problem with this one for me is I can't afford their stuff to begin with. So what good is a boycott?
Yeah. No, very fair.
Balenciaga, as it's pronounced, makes like $2,000 purses and $1,100 tennis runners, tennis shoes.
Yeah. This, you're not the person they're going after. They're going after high-end fashion. Now, the question is the Splash the $3,000 handbag, and in a year from now, they're going to be in more affordable places, right? Are they trying to get into the mainstream and they're trying to create as much news and shock value as possible? Listen, you and I had never heard of Balenciaga before this ad. And sure enough, we're talking about it. We got sucked into it just like they knew we would by making a really offensive ad campaign.
Have you noticed with your kids, that as they've gotten, well, from the time they were born till now, you've had to do more, cover the eyes, shelter them with advertisements, whether it's,
Debbie, I don't even know how to begin.
Yeah, really.
Social media, television, they're at billboards, whatever it might be, it seems like. And they know this. The ad companies know this. The more shocking you make it, the more people are talking about it. Any publicity is good publicity, even if it's negative.
On our KSL text line at 57500, I thought of this too. What parent allowed their child to be used in this kind of ad? Did they approve of it?
Right.
Did they approve of it? You've got to.
Well, they have to be on set, right? They have to be there.
Yeah. Would you? I mean,
again, it's success, it's fame at any cost. And that's where I think when parents don't. When they stop looking after the well-being of their child, that's where I think the law has to step in, and they have to do something about it. And as we talked to KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas, he said, I don't think any laws were broken because it didn't depict the child itself in any sexualized manner. So there's no child porn being attached to it. But I wonder if there doesn't need to be a broadening of the definition, because this feels like they're just skirting on the edges.
We're going to cut over to some developing news now regarding avalanche danger. KSL News Radio's Adam Small has been tracking the developments on the storm, which we've been reporting on all morning long. Adam, what do you know?
Well, we do know right now that if you are heading to the backcountry around, especially the Wasatch Mountains around Salt Lake County, that area, it's actually at a high avalanche danger right now. So, I mean, it's their avalanche forecasters are telling people stay to low angle terrain, bring your emergency supplies with you, bring a partner if you can, at the very least, let your family, loved ones that when you're going, when you expect to come back. And there's still a considerable danger. And according to, I spoke with Drew Hardesty with the Utah Avalanche Center, a forecaster, a few minutes ago, and he said the mountains going all the way up to Logan still have a considerable danger. So, I mean, if you're up in Ogden or going up further north there, going up in Logan, there's still a very likelihood that you could accidentally trigger an avalanche. So just they're warning people to just be prepared. This snow dropped a lot. And it's with the dry spell we had the last couple of weeks, it really weakened that foundation. So people just need to be prepared.
Adam Small with KSL News Radio. Thank you, Adam. And you look at the snow that dropped, Debbie. It is light. It is fluffy. It is skiing on clouds. I know there's a crazy allure to it. And the light, fluffy stuff isn't quite as dangerous as the really heavy, wet snow. But still, when you are talking about avalanche amounts, it doesn't really matter if it's light and fluffy. It's still extremely dangerous.
I'm trying to get back to the FlightAware website. Caitlin, can we check FlightAware to see how flights are doing out of Salt Lake International Airport? We noticed there were, just maybe a handful of delays this morning and a few flight cancellations. Of course, always good, you know, a good tip to call ahead before you head out there. There was a lot of lake effect snow in that area. As I was driving in at about 6:15 this morning on I-80 toward the airport. Oh, it was coming down pretty good. So there were some delays there. I know there's also some delays. It looks like Denver is getting hit by that storm or hit by a storm. And they were experiencing delays there, more significant delays than we were here. We spoke with KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank, said this was a whopper of a storm. It is a good thing for the drought, but it is moving out of here today. It looks like maybe we're clouding up again in downtown Salt Lake City, but that the roads look a lot better than they did earlier today.
It's still very cold. Still very cold. I think we're in the high 20s right now, a high in the low 30s. So you're going to be dealing with ice all day long into the night, especially when it drops down into the teens. Right back.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Utah's top local story. Special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Let me take you back to the point of the mountain at the site of the old prison, which, of course, the prisoners have been removed from that site, sent to the new prison. Oh, it happened several months ago. But we have been watching what we thought was going to be a demolition of the tower, the iconic tower. We call it iconic, necessary tower that they've had out there for a long, long time. And it just hasn't happened yet.
It's kind of, if it's going to take this long to like demolish the prison, we might be here till the next
decade. What is that
decade.
Piece of machinery they have out there? Is
a it big like old track hoe.
A track hoe.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how tall the tower is, but I thought
significantly larger than the track hoe. Like when that thing collapses, you want to make sure that it's not collapsing on you.
KSL News Radio's Amy Cobabe, you've been live on the scene all morning long. Are you seeing anybody work to demolish the tower yet?
So the big concern, I think, is safety, because they had a chain tied up to the building. They took out some of the beams on the ground that were holding it in place, and then they were pulling on it with the chain and that machinery, and then that didn't work. And they did it again, and that didn't work. And so now they're trying to figure out what to do, and they tied on a big chain with a big weight, big giant rock is essentially what I would call it, but on the bottom, and then they stopped. And so I think there is a concern for safety because there's about 50 people here. You've got media, and there's even just little kids. Parents have come from this community and brought their kids to see this, and it feels there's a festive atmosphere here. But it's still, a little
freezing,
bit dampened,
Amy,
by the fact
it's got to be freezing out there for all these folks. They probably went back to their cars.
so cold, and some people are going back to their cars. And but that doesn't mean that the day is the start today of the demolition here at the old state prison. This was supposed to be the first thing, but I'm sure that, you know, they'll figure out a way to get it down. It just might not be while there's a big crowd of people standing around watching. A little embarrassing for the first day, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. But this new state prison is going to turn into a new 15-minute community, is what they're calling it, where you can get everything you need in 15 minutes. And that includes trails and a lot of recreation. But the main kind of message that I'm hearing from leaders here today is that this will be a new hope in Utah, going from a place of guard and security to open and welcoming.
I think I've watched enough, like, Chip and Joanna Gaines. And, you know, I know a lot about Demo Day. Is there any indication how long, not just this guard tower that's symbolically coming down at some point, any idea how long it's going to take to clear? And this is like 600 acres.
Yeah, it's a large, large area. So don't get your hopes up that this is going to be, we've got a kind of an idea here with this that it's probably going to take even longer than we expect. But this will be years in the making of demolishing and building. And so, you know, we talk about this now that we're hopeful for the future, but that's a future in the far future. Yes, the far future.
Yeah. Well, I hope everything ends well out there today, Amy. I know you're standing by to watch that tower come down, if it does indeed come down. We're watching a live feed right now from studio, and we know Amy's live on the scene there at the point of the mountain. And that track hole is just parked there. The tower is still standing. As Amy pointed out, this was to be sort of a symbolic, you know, first day of demolition at the Utah State Prison. And we don't know for sure. This is pure speculation, but they may have needed more than that track hoe to bring that thing down. Apparently, they don't build them like they used to. That thing's stubborn. It's not going anywhere.
Where's the wrecking ball?
Tower.
Like, hey. I wanted to see the big, ginormous wrecking ball slam into that bad boy.
So let's chat about this. It's called, what did Amy call it? The Utah's first 15-minute city. That's some sharp marketing. Look, we'll forgo any more jokes about the tower not coming down, because the 15-minute city, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, where you can... What's the saying? Live, work, play, yeah. Something like that, where everything you can do.
Play where you work yeah. where you play, live where you eat. All, yeah. So Dave, I'm going to bounce.
Kind of like the prison. It's too easy. You can't set it up and not expect me to take a swing at it. You can't throw me that big old softball and expect me to not swing at it.
I just can't come back from this one. I just can't. I don't even think you're that funny. It's like, I do think you're super funny, but that one just, wow, this has been interesting. So far the tower hasn't come down. We're making fun of the 15-minute city. Okay.
It's live, work, play.
Play where you eat. Serve time at the retail outlets. Okay. We're worthless.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, there's going to be retail, entertainment, schools, high-quality workplaces, restaurants, and recreation. Couldn't be anything further from a prison out there.
Johnny Cash is going to come play in the Folsom lobby.
7,400 residential units. Wow. That place is going to be hopping. What do you want there, Dave?
Well, it's hard to really comprehend how much space we're talking about, because 600 acres is massive. Now, I said what I want to see is an NFL football stadium. To give you an idea.
Did you mean that?
Oh, my goodness. That would be the greatest thing in the history of the world.
All right, go ahead.
Totally mean it. And I don't think it's a crazy possibility. I think there is a real possibility. But that thing could take up maybe 50 acres at most. So the thought of putting an NFL football stadium there still leaves 550 acres for all the eat, work, play, eat, pray, love, whatever. You can do whatever you want. But carve out at least 50 acres there for my ginormous NFL football stadium. I would also accept a Major League Baseball stadium. Okay, that would be fine, too.
Is that second tier?
NFL rules.
I see.
Even though I'm personally a huge baseball fan, as you are.
No teams available in the NFL to move to Salt Lake City, though.
No, it would have to be expansion, right.
An expansion team. But there are teams available in Major League Baseball up for sale.
I mean, maybe the Oakland A's.
Okay, I'll take it. Straight ahead,
Utah Athletics. Oh my goodness, I love it.
I'm
already in. All in. I'm buying A's gear.
Yeah, stay tuned to Amy Kobabe's live coverage from the point of the mountain. She'll tell you if the tower actually comes down. I'm sure it'll happen by Jeff Kaplan's show this afternoon. Straight ahead, the triple threat of viruses. You've got RSV, you've got COVID, and you've got the flu. And Dave, you've got an experience that just rocked your world this weekend, running around trying to find medicine for all your sick family members.
For the love, can somebody help me out? I'm just trying to find a little NyQuil.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Primary Children's Hospital is so overwhelmed right now with patients that they actually put out a news release yesterday that they're delaying some of the pre-scheduled procedures and surgeries because they have this big volume of child patients all driven by RSV.
And it's not just RSV right now. RSV, the flu, COVID. It's the triple threat right now.
What's going through the Noriega home?
Yeah, one of all. No, it's not COVID. It's either the flu. Maybe it's RSV. I don't know. Do like teenagers get RSV?
Well,
or is it just in babies? I just know about it in babies.
Let's ask Dr. Richard Ferguson. He's the chief medical officer with Health Choice Utah, also the founder of Black Physicians of Utah. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
I think Dave asks the best question off the top here, which is, do teenagers get this RSV stuff too, or is it just babies?
Yeah, so it actually can affect all age groups, particularly it has a larger impact, though, than under the age of 5. But yes, teenagers can get it, adults can get it, but because 90% of us are exposed before the age of 2, we've built up immunity. So by the time that we're a teenager, it comes off as a simple cold. Many won't even mark a fever with a RSV infection as a teenager. But then on the other side is when you're above 65, it can actually cause hospitalization. Actually, RSV is associated with about 14,000 senior deaths annually.
Oh, wow. Now, I think there's a cough going around. It seems like everybody is in some level of coughing. It's either an occasional cough or one that's really bad. Is that the flu? Is that RSV? What am I listening for when I hear a cough?
So a cough can be so many things. It could actually be a variant of asthma that someone may have just by, you know, when we have our bad air days here in the valley. It could also be a factor of someone recovering from upper respiratory viral infection and they have postnasal drip that's causing them to have a reactive cough. Or after they've had, say, influenza, there's a risk of developing community-acquired pneumonia sometimes 7 to 10 days after. So when you start having a worsening cough after it seemed to clear, but now new fever, that's when you should go and seek care with your PCP, emergency room, or urgent care to maybe get that chest x-ray.
Dr. Richard Ferguson live on the line, Chief Medical Officer with Health Choice Utah and founder of Black Physicians of Utah. And we were talking about RSV and babies and primary children's kind of postponing some surgical procedures just because they have so many kids with RSV there right now. I actually probably know the answer to this because one of my babies when they were really little had RSV, doctor, and it was not to be a Debbie Downer, but it was scary. It was scary. What are the symptoms that parents need to be watching for?
So there's the symptoms to watch out for, to concern for RSV, but then there's the other symptoms that I'll probably focus on when you need to bring your child to the ER. So the first will be RSV usually shows symptoms within about 4 to 6 days after a child gets infected. So they have a runny nose, decrease in appetite, coughing, a little bit of sneezing, and a fever often under 101, may or may not have wheezing. Most of the time what we get really concerned is someone under 6 months, where they become increasingly irritable, decrease activity, and start having breathing difficulties. And then we want to focus on more of the red flag signs. So this bluish lips in the face, rapid breathing, when you start seeing the child take a deep inhalation, you start to see their rib muscles. And then more so, because whenever you have, so one thing that's particularly associated with RSV is copious mucus production. So kids can tend to become dehydrated because they're breathing so rapidly through their mouth and losing a lot of fluid through the mucus through their nose. So you'll tend to look for a child not producing tears when crying, having a dry cheeks on the inside of the mouth or chapped lips. And then once again, if the fever is higher than 104, you need to bring the child in. But those are some of the worrying signs: breathing rapidly, copious mucus production from the nose where the child isn't wanting to really eat or drink.
The Washington Post reported that nearly 9 out of 10 deaths are now in people 65 or older. Is this all COVID related? I think that was COVID specifically, even though we were talking about RSV and the flu. COVID's still around.
COVID is still around, and particularly there's new strains that are subvariants of, I don't know if we remember the alphabet soup of COVID, the BA4 and 5. Well, this right now is the subvariants of the BA5, and I believe those are referenced as BQ1-1 and BQ1. Anyhow, just from my recent ED experience, I am seeing far more higher diagnosing, or I'm diagnosing much more influenza type A. So adults are coming in, significant cough, almost to the point of vomiting, and high temps, 103, 104 degrees, and it's rapid. They're often feeling fine when they're hanging out with their family before Thanksgiving. 2 days after Thanksgiving, they have high fever, and they're almost bedridden. They're barely able to get into me. And so I have diagnosed and admitted more adults this month for actually flu and not COVID.
All right. So,
however, many people actually are vaccinated for COVID that I've been taking care of, but not getting the flu vaccine, which has been around for ages.
Right. I got my flu vaccine, Doc. So you'll be proud of me. I got it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Huge debt of gratitude to Debbie. I just didn't want to get the flu. I had COVID last year. I haven't had the flu in ages. Don't want to get the flu, and don't want to be a super spreader either of the flu. So here I am. Got shingled up, and also my flu vaccine on the same day. That was a fun 1-2 punch. I'll tell you that much. It is safe.
That's the key. Yeah. Get both if you can. So the biggest take home, if I could tell anyone, is if you can get vaccinated, remember, 6 months and older, you can get vaccinated for flu and against flu and COVID. Masking when in large groups or indoor for prolonged periods. Stay home or away from school or daycare if you're feeling ill. It's difficult sometimes with our American work ethic to work, work, work. And even if we go in with a sniffle, we could be putting someone's family member at risk. So once again, vaccination, wearing a surgical mask if you can, doesn't always have to be an N95, avid and frequent hand washing, and avoid close contact with someone that appears to be ill.
Dr. Ferguson, thanks for joining us. Chief Medical Officer with Health Choice Utah and founder of Black Physicians of Utah.
So tell us about your search for NyQuil. First of all, why... Who was sick?
Yeah, my people were down. I mean, I'm the only one apparently that has the immune system that is just untouchable.
Of Superman.
I am Superman. I keep saying that.
So
I go out to try to find some NyQuil, DayQuil. You know, that's kind of the selection of choice. So I go to look for some. It's cleared out, Deb.
Really?
And I don't mean cleared out by a little bit. They're like 19 rows of NyQuil variants.
I know, that is true. There's a lot.
It's supposed to be like 20 deep. It is absolutely gone. I got the final bottle of NyQuil, and it was like NyQuil super severe, whatever. It was like one of those variants.
You didn't care. You just took it home.
Like, whatever. It says NyQuil. I'm getting it.
Did you have to split that up between the number of your people?
Yeah, I'm just like pouring it directly in mouths, you know, like shot glasses. You get one, you get one, you get one.
Did you, were you just at the grocery store or did you
go
to the drugstore?
Yeah, I went to the grocery store and apparently I was talking to one of our producers. They're like, yep, same thing. I saw the same thing at Walmart.
So let me just ask you this. Riddle me this. Why would you not stock up on this? I mean, I have like a
I would have, except it was all
supply.
Gone.
Why?
You have an annual supply?
I have an annual supply of Mucinex or the knockoff.
Oh, couldn't find Mucinex.
Yeah,
there was none.
It's because it's like gold.
Yeah.
It's gold. Straight ahead, we're going to talk live with the Davis School District. They did a two-hour delay this morning, a two-hour delayed start because of the snowstorm. I just thought we were in a situation where schools can now just like go to remote learning automatically for the day. So I don't know why they made the choice to do the two-hour delay and not just put kids on remote learning. You have kids up there.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I got the whatever 6 a.m. text, 6:30 a.m. text. It's like, yep, it's going to be a two-hour delay. Like, oh, man, can we just stay home?
Nope.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Did you see the tweet this morning at 11:31 a.m. from the Davis School District, Dave? Or did you get the phone call?
For what?
School is on late start, two-hour late start as of today, just today, because of the snowstorm.
I got the phone call. Yeah, 6:30 this morning, I got the phone call. I figured it was coming. I was a little surprised when I heard that it was a two-hour late start and not a snow day. I was thinking, oh, this is the phone call that says my kids get to stay home and they're going to be so happy.
Well, during the pandemic, you really became like teacher extraordinaire when your kids had to go on remote learning. That is where my mindset was when they announced the two-hour late start, is all these parents are like professional now at remote learning. So why not just keep the kids at home today and you know, not worry about the commute in?
Yeah, that's a little bit what I thought was going to happen. I was surprised that it was just a delayed start and not just, hey, guys, stay home. We'll do remote learning because we know you know how to do it. But it does seem like Davis School District was just about the only school district that cared about the bus drivers. My goodness, everybody else is like, get to school. Chris Williams joins us right now from the Davis School District. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. And you always have to remember, when you talk to me, I'm from Buffalo. So when we talk accumulation, we're not talking 6.5 feet of snow, but we did get accumulation.
We did.
No question.
Yeah,
about
we had accumulation. And, it kind of picked up in that 6 o'clock hour this morning when I was driving in. There was a lot of lake effect snow. So, but just walk us back to the decision and to do the two-hour delayed start and not keep kids at home all day for remote learning, which parents learned to do so well during the pandemic. What went into the decision?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. First off, we rely on our plow drivers when they're plowing the parking lots, and they get back with us saying, you know what, things are kind of dicey out here. The East Bench was specifically really challenging. But when it comes to late start, we have to figure out, can we ask teachers who have already been up late working on schoolwork for the next day, do we tell them early in the morning, oh, now we have to do remote, and can they pull that off? It's very challenging for teachers to do that. And so the best situation in this regard is to try to keep our employees and our students safe as they come into school, but also give them an experience so that the best learning takes place in the classroom. And if the storm is such that allows us to do a two-hour late start and get things plowed so that people can get there safely, that's the best avenue that we found that we can take.
Chris Williams, thank you for joining us. Davis School District spokesperson. Thanks, Chris.
That makes sense to you, Dave.
Yeah. No, I hadn't thought about the teachers. Like, hey, it's 6:30. Start scrambling. Get your stuff in.
It's a great question. Now that we have the ability to do remote learning, we've learned how to remote learn because of COVID. It's a great question. But Davis District, the only district that we could find on that delayed start today. Everybody else is like, get to class.
Remote learning is not a light switch. It's not just, on. It requires some teachers to get ready.
And in that moment, we were talking to Chris Williams, that light bulb went off. I'm like, that makes sense.
Okay. That makes sense.
Tomorrow's a very special day for the KSL family and for all of our listeners and, you know, people, viewers of KSL 5 television as well. It is the Giveathon. We begin tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it goes until 4 in the afternoon. I will be on the air with all of our friends at KSL, not only News Radio, Dave, but KSL 5 TV from noon to 3 tomorrow. We're going to partner, of course, as we always do, with Primary Children's Hospital. We're going to be accepting donations all day long, and there's just so many kids that need our help.
Yeah, I think of Carson. We want to tell you a little bit of Carson's story, who was diagnosed with a rare heart condition.
I was pregnant with the twins, had them when I was 38 years old. I was considered high risk.
Carson, before he was born, we found out that he had a hole in his heart that they knew wouldn't close up. He had a bad valve that would have to be fixed in the future. Carson was born first, and when he came out, there was no sound. They just grabbed him and ran him into another room. And then they did take me back to see the boys, and you know, they just had a team of doctors around Carson working on him. And Graham was kind of like 5 pounds. They're like, hey, he's cool.
He was 3 pounds, one ounce when he was born, and we had to get him to 12 pounds when he was 6 months old so that he could have open heart surgery. This last year, one side of his heart was getting larger, and so they decided, hey, we need to do some more tests. It may be time to replace that valve. We were super confident in the team at Primary Children's. They had researched and knew his history.
This time, they were able to do it with our catheter. We didn't have to have open heart surgery. Amazing, because we were in on Tuesday, out on Wednesday.
I didn't really feel nervous. I was just like, oh, it's happening.
We love the hospital. Everyone there has been amazing. Anytime we've had questions, we've been able to call. We get a quick response. They've just gone out of their way to make Carson feel comfortable, to make us feel comfortable.
They were kind all the time. You'll be here in my
heart. He's struggled being a little kid with his heart issue, and I hope he just continues to keep growing and getting healthier.
I'm 12. Turning 13 in December.
5, 10 years, we may have something permanent. And so that's my hope, that as technology goes forward, we can get to the point where his next valve replacement is his forever valve replacement.
You know, you always want your kids to be healthy, and you want to find the right people to take care of them. The Primary Children's Hospital does an amazing job. They want them to be healthy just as much as we do.
You go, Carson. You can donate now. You don't even have to wait for a Giveathon. But we certainly want you to tune in tomorrow as well. You can donate now by visiting kslkids.com. You can also text the word SMILE to 57500 right now. We'll get you all set up. The goal today, Dave, is 5 before 5. We need 5 new SMILE makers, $15 a month. So 15 bucks a month. I mean, what is that, like a lunch?
There you go. 50 cents a day.
Before 5 o'clock. We can do that, right?
Yep. The Smile Maker, yeah, as you said, that recurring donation that is so helpful, so great. And we want to just thank J&J Garden Center for being our Smile Maker sponsor.
Straight ahead, we're going to take you to the ski slopes. We've got lots of snow, lots of new snow. Last check, Snowbird had, I think, 15 inches of new snow. And Brighton, oh, they got a ton as well. We're taking you up to the ski slopes to check in on how much snow they got.
Dave and Dujanovic. Utah's winter weather. Special coverage with Dave Dujanovic.
Well, if you're a skier, you're loving this. Looking at the snow totals from Brighton Ski Resort of Big Cottonwood Canyon, 17 inches in the last 24 hours. Not to be outdone, but certainly mirrored by Snowbird, one canyon over up Little Cottonwood Canyon, also reporting 17 inches of fresh powder in the last 24.
Yeah, I was just watching some video from Alta Ski Resort, skiing through that 17 inches, that fluffy, beautiful powder. It makes me not want to work the rest of the day. I'm going to be honest.
Allison Palmentier, Ski Utah Director of Communications. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is great news for the slopes. The resort's got to be loving this, and the skiers probably loving it even more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was just watching footage as well, and it looks like everyone's out there having a great time, and we love to see snow.
It seems really light and fluffy. It's not the heavy stuff that we sometimes get early in the season.
Yeah, it does seem really light and fluffy with a lower moisture content, which is great. You know, it's that famous Utah powder.
It shows on the Brighton Ski Resort website, Allison, that year to date, Brighton has received 131 inches of snow. That sounds awesome to me, but you're the expert. Is that good?
That is great. We are definitely ahead of schedule as far as snow. So it's definitely shaping up to be a super snowy season. And we saw, you know, a ton of the resorts opening early, which was great to see. And even more have announced even earlier opening dates as well. Deer Valley opened today. So it's a really exciting time for us.
It looks like we're getting a lot of snow in those Cottonwood Canyons. What's it look like up north around Snow Basin and Powder Mountain? What's open in the northern part?
Snow Basin has been open, as well as Nordic Valley opened and will be reopening December 2nd, I believe. Powder Mountain opens this week as well, so really excited to see everything. And down south, even Eagle Point has moved up their opening date. So it's snowy all across Utah, which we love to see.
Yeah, this has been a phenomenal amount of snow, at least from my vantage point down here in the valley. I haven't been up to the ski resorts yet, but Allison, everything's like, all the roads are open to the resorts today if somebody wants to take an afternoon off, or like Dave, my co-host here, wants to head up to the resorts. Everything's good to go? No restrictions?
As far as I know, no restrictions. If you happen to come down with the wink-wink powder flu, I wouldn't blame you. And definitely recommend taking those afternoon laps. We always recommend those midweek afternoon laps for kind of the best guest experience.
Allison Palmentieri, thank you so much for joining us. Ski Utah, Director of Communications.
Thanks, Allison. Good to talk to you. I know the ski resorts are excited. The skiers are super pumped as well. It looks like all the roads are open. Of course, there's always this concern about avalanche danger. KSL News Radio's Adam Small has been tracking the developments on that. You can check his reporting out at kslnewsradio.com if you're heading into the backcountry on what you need to bring. But he'll be reporting throughout the afternoon right here as well at KSL News Radio. And tomorrow, Dave, is a huge day for the KSL radio and television families. We got the Giveathon. We've got the KSL Giveathon.
The KSL Giveathon.
8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we are going to be partnering with Primary Children's Hospital, accepting donations all day long.
Let me introduce you a little bit to some of the kids that are getting such incredible care up at Primary Children's. Let's talk about Abigail. During an ultrasound in March of 2021, Alicia received the official diagnosis that her unborn daughter Abigail had spina bifida.
We got a phone call saying something was wrong with our pregnancy. And then on March 5th of 2021, it was confirmed that Abigail had spina bifida. A lot of fear. Will she be able to walk? Will she be able to talk? It's the scariest yet most rewarding journey we've been on. And we still have those highs and those lows, those emotional roller coasters. When you look at her on paper, you see more of the negatives. And then you look at her and see actually what she's doing. And you see she's going above and beyond their expectations at this point. Regardless of how her outcome's going to look, it's going to be okay. A piece of paper will not define her. I don't think it would be happening without Primary Children's. And it was just a beautiful moment to see these physicians and Primary Children's coming together for the well-being of one little human being. Without them doing the fetal surgery, without all of their follow-up, all of their continuation of care through physical therapy, occupational therapy, and working with our local team, it wouldn't happen if we didn't have such a good support system and backbone for her to make those milestones. Probably a week and a half after she was born, sitting in the NICU surrounded by all these doctors, I just knew that everything was going to be okay, that God put a flame and a light on her for a reason, and she's going to do amazing things. we wouldn't be where we are with her and her accomplishments without the donation from other people. And we know as our family, we couldn't have done it without Primary. And the support we've seen from their community has been phenomenal.
Oh!
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna stand by you.
That's amazing. Abigail, with the help of weekly therapy appointments, Abigail is crawling and learning to pull herself up.
That adorable little army crawl, yeah, those little ones.
Army crawling.
I love it.
She'll continue to check in with Primary Children's doctors as she grows. This is a really exciting time. It's the least we can do for such a gem in our community.
Yeah, it's been something that KSL has been a part of for so many years now. If you want to donate, you can donate now by visiting kslkids.com. You know we love our texting as well. So you can text the word SMILE to 57500. What we're hoping for is 10 new movie show Smile Makers. There you go, from Doug Wright. The Smile Makers is a recurring donation. That's $15 or more. We want to get that by noon. So 10 new movie show Smile Makers. If you're a fan of the movie show, go ahead and text the word SMILE to 57500.
We also want to thank J&J Garden Center. They're one of our Smile Maker sponsors, and we certainly appreciate them and their focus on this gem in our community, Primary Children's Medical Center, as well. Ever take your kids to Primary Children's for anything?
Yep. Yeah, my daughter was, maybe 3 years old, had a big cut on her face after sliding down a slide.
I'm sorry.
They went in and they stitched her up to this day, because they give the kids little stuffed animals, right?
Oh.
We still have those. My son has one, and my daughter has one for times we went up to Primary.
We were frequent flyers at Primary Children's. We were frequent flyers. It just thankfully we lived like to a point at a place that we could access I-215 and then just jump off at Foothill and get them there in our personal vehicles.
Flyers.
We were frequent flyers. Let's see. My daughter fell off a horse when she was one. Don't judge me. When she was fine, but we got her there for that. And then my other daughter lost her finger in a door slamming accident involving my 3-year-old son protecting his Legos. They reattached her pinky finger just fine. And then there's other things I can talk about. We'll talk about tomorrow during the Give-A-Thon. It starts tomorrow morning at 8, right here on KSL News Radio. Maria, up next, we're going to check in with the prison. I missed that Kodak moment with that stubborn tower, the prison tower that was supposed to come down, but just didn't.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.